heart attack, is there a mystery to be solved? Well, apparently, Colville and Soames believe so.
Colville and Soames by Christopher Lee. Starring Christopher Benjamin as Henry Colville and Amanda Redman as Alex Soames, with Dudley Sutton as Arthur Guscott. Episode 1, In Dominic's Memory.
Oh, Dominic. Dear, dear Dominic, why? Oh, why? Tell me why.
Marianca evadere judicium mutionis.
Evadere judicium mutionis.
Henry?
Oh, hello.
Are you okay? You sure?
Escape the judgment of vengeance. We are taught to recite, my dear Alex, such gruesome tests of faith.
Wasn't he very holy? You know, did good works and things. There shouldn't be too much weeping, should there?
My dear, if no one weeps for the dead, how do we weep for the living? It wasn't his soul we mourned, it was the manner of his passing, the day of wrath, that dreadful day.
What about his family? Weren't they here?
He had, I believe, a blind cousin in Dundalk. A disbeliever, and even older than he, but none other. So, no, just friends, a few devotees, and most of us far too old to be at funerals.
She wasn't.
Who, my dear?
Over there, getting into a taxi. Expensive and not exactly searching for a bus pass. Who is she?
No, I really don't know. Graveside's a magnet for the diaspora. The long-lost seed.
No sign of her handkerchief. Although I suppose that comes with reading the will.
He was quite penniless. Not even a checkbook. And you know, it never dawned on him that he was poor.
Perhaps he wasn't.
And perhaps you're right. 11 o'clock hurries, so another perhaps. Perhaps a small Calvados and some coffee. You have the car?
Yes, but what
some
about...
Calvados he would approve. Indeed, indeed, indeed. And you've had your hair cut. Very pretty. We shall celebrate.
Thank you, kind sir. Just the fringe. And, sorry to spoil things, but Cutner bleeped us.
Oh.
He's poked off about something.
He is? Then I'm cheered. Then Calvados it shall be. Perhaps much Calvados. In Dominic's memory.
I called twice. Personally. 9:15. Your catamite was damn snooty.
That is offensive. And unnecessarily so.
Well, it's simply not flaming good enough. 9:15, I'd have thought that even you'd have been up by then. I shouldn't have to beg to your whatever you call him.
My man.
Your man? Good grief. I shouldn't have to beg for an appointment.
I was at a funeral, that of a very dear friend.
Well, I don't want to sound callous, but this was important. And he wouldn't have missed you.
No, but I shall miss him.
Anything in it for us?
What does that mean?
Well, you know, was he known on the file or anything?
My friend is, was a priest. He appears to have surprised a burglar. There was a struggle, and he suffered a cardiac arrest.
The burglar?
My friend. He was in his 89th year.
Well, he had a good image.
Joseph, I must say that...
Can we switch off the electricity for a moment, or would you rather I wander off, read War and Peace, and come back next week?
Okay, sorry. Condolences and all that. Oh.
Back?
Agony.
You want me to rub it?
Now, don't you start. Shut the blinds. Please?
Thank you.
Right. Clock this one. His name's Kalim Anbar.
Isn't that a drink?
Armenian trader.
Ah.
Damn right, ah. That's what the little bugger's trading in. 1.2 metres long, weighs in at just 13 kilograms. High explosive at supersonic speed. It's called Red Eye. It's a portable missile. Now, try this. It's called Impact Probability.
Gosh.
Yeah, on a scale of 1 to 10, it has a gosh factor of 9. That's what it does. That smudge was a small plane at 3 kilometres. Here's a close-up.
Russian?
The missile? Yank. General Dynamics. Fired from the shoulder. Picks up engine heat from, well, say, a helicopter. So, bang. Exit one whirlybird.
Or BA Flight 007 landing at Heathrow.
Better still taking off. Maximum engine heat. Beats drainpipe mortars off the back of a pickup. So, we want to find Anbark. He's about to deal here.
With whom?
Well, we think Pyra. And this, we think, is the Provisional's contact man. Fuzzy as hell, but the best we've got.
Ah. Name?
I haven't a clue. Know him?
It's not a very clear picture.
It was a candid camera, Mrs. Soames, not David Bailey.
Tell me, Joseph, where was this taken?
Malta, last week. And you still haven't answered my question. You know it.
Where do you think they are now?
Anbark's in Malta. Or at least he was yesterday morning. The other guy flew to Frankfurt.
When?
2 days ago.
And then?
Lost him. He just disappeared into a hole in the ground.
Not quite, dear heart. Not quite.
You should have told him.
A face at a funeral at 20 paces?
We both thought so.
But did not know so.
Just suppose we were right. Let's think why he would have been at the funeral. Relative?
No. Well, as far as I know, and I believe I do.
Friend? Not by the sound of it. Who else goes to funerals? Reporters, creditors, ghouls? Someone returning to the scene of the crime. What about him being the burglar?
But for what reason? Terrorists don't break into churches. They don't even blow them up. And Dominic was hardly a campaigner for revolution theology.
Tell me about him.
Dominic. As a young man, brilliant. A mathematician. Took a first at 20. He once told me that he was exhausted, burned out, he said, at 23. From there, moral philosophy. He taught in Dublin, came to London.
To do what?
Parish priest.
Which was how you met?
In a bookshop in Charing Cross Road. I was 16. He introduced me to poetry and, of course, Rome. We thought poping a fine thing. The morning before he died, he left a message with my man. Said he'd put something in the post for me, something very important.
You said you saw him at Mass most mornings. Why would he post something precious when he could give it to you?
Why, indeed. Perhaps he saw the afternoon post as a night safe. Too many perhapses. Come, my dear, work to do. I want you to get the list of mourners.
Didn't seem to be that sort of funeral. I'll try the undertakers.
Try Westminster. The chaplain to Monsignor Morrissey. He will know who attended anything at which the dear Monsignor officiates.
Will you give it me?
I suspect you to be the prettiest lady in London this very day. I suspect the chaplain will feel the same.
I resent that, even from you.
Of course you do, my dear, of course you do. Ah, excellent. Taxi!
Don't bother, I'll walk.
Uh-huh. But I shall not. You may be the prettiest lady, but I am the prettiest man. I'm going to see a housekeeper.
Would you have another cup? Plenty in the pot.
No, thank you very much. Tell me...
Terrible business, terrible. Poor Father Byrne.
Such sadness.
22 years last Easter I done for him. And him such a gentleman. And generous. No need to steal, no need for any of this.
But nothing was taken.
What would there be worth the taking? Tell me that. The darling man had nothing at all.
When you found...
Oh, don't even mention it.
The study was quite disturbed.
It was. It was the chaos of the devil. His beautiful books. There wasn't a pile that was put there by himself. And then his tapes, all over the place. And him keeping them so careful. The only thing he did for his letters in the lake. His condition, you understand?
Ah, yes, his wretched arthritis.
Not a wafer could he hold. And his beautiful pen. You know, he would stick it right down to the knuckles. But he couldn't write more than his name. The agony of it. Such a tragedy for a man of learning.
Mm-hmm. He left a message at my home. Said he was writing to me.
A letter? Well, how could he be doing that? He was lost without his recording machine. How he managed this, we never know. I tries my best with the gadgets, but I never understood a penneth of them. I have a way with me hoover, and there it is.
Ah, here we are.
So what happened to you? Who's the mystery housekeeper?
Mrs. Wedlock makes the most offensive tea in London and looked after dear Dominic for 2 decades.
And?
And, well, I'm not sure. I saw his room. It told me nothing, but it might, it might. And you, my dear?
Monsignor Morris's chaplain is, as advertised, very hunky, looking for hands-on experience.
Oh, dear. Will our bishops never learn?
Anyway, he came up with a list. It's not that good. Mostly friends, like your Mrs. Wedlock. Church, doctor something or other from his college, and Miss Silicone D-Cup herself.
Miss who?
Bottle blonde, legs, waiting taxi.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Donna Hanley, American, and she turned him down.
He told you that?
He sneered. She must have done.
Oh, how clever. Nothing, I suppose, on the fuzzy fellow?
Nope.
Right. And now to tea.
Wonderful. Where are we going? Brown's? The Savoy?
I fear not. We shall take tinted dishwater with my man Guscott.
Who he?
He, Knacker of the Great Yard. Come, my dear, let us test Arthur George Guscott with your list of mourners and graveside stragglers.
I might have bloody known it. I can't even handle a quiet little manslaughter without you poking your nose in.
He was a dear friend.
So I heard. Sorry about that. But this one's straight up and down. Unless, of course, you've got something to tell me. Well, has he?
Well...
Look, if you have, say so. If you haven't, please accept my condolences and push off, OK?
You've a way with words, haven't you, Mr. Guscott?
No, love. I've got a way with forms, overtime, paying the mortgage...
The Chief Inspector, my dear Alex, is the last of the old-style constabulary. Without charm, without brains, without prospects, but tends a fine allotment. Is that not right, Arthur?
And you, H... You're a pillock and an interfering one at that.
We had come bearing gifts.
And interfering. Listen, Sunshine, every day of every week of every year in this town, churches and vestries are getting knocked over, right?
We do read the papers, you know.
Every thieving git reckons there's a couple of quid in the biscuit box. So what happens? Chummy comes in looking for it. In comes your man. They both do can-can at the side of each other. The priest knocking 90. Wham! Mega chest pains. Down he goes and Chummy has it away on his toes.
Why tear the place apart if he's only looking for beer money?
This sort of bloke ain't done the Lucy Clayton course.
Did he ransack before or after Brother Dominic came in?
Before.
Who says so?
I do. Papers under the body. If your pal had gone down before the trashing, chances there'd be nothing under him.
Unless, of course, it wasn't just a burglar. Suppose you, we, were meant to think that.
Oh, yeah. Got something, have we?
A professional, a person of certain training, would know to scatter the floor and then move the corpse on top. But tell me, Arthur, what do we know about the mourners?
Nearest and dearest, plus a couple of holy joes, I suppose.
But you didn't have anyone there.
Lord love. You see this lot? This week's business alone. 1 murder, 7 stabbings, 4 worse than that. I've got 5 bods on my team and one of them's off sick. If I want to piss in this place, I have to put in a leave chit. No, I didn't have anyone there.
Pity. Well, we go. You may like this. The mourners, or as many of them as we know.
Cheers. I'll write.
Should anything occur, you will let me know.
No.
I thought not. By the by, we are sure nothing was stolen.
No.
Just one more thing. Do you know who tied it up?
Why?
A small point, Arthur. Dominic was supposed to have sent me a letter or a parcel, I'm not sure which. It never arrived. I simply wondered...
If it was in his flaming out tray. You think I was born yesterday? Out with it. What's on your mind?
Well, as you so frequently tell me, Arthur, very little. Very little indeed. But should there be, well, you'll be the first to know.
Push off.
Shouldn't you answer that, Mr. Guscott? It may be your leave chit coming through.
The dead give us grace. How do we know, indeed? But Dominic, dear Dominic, what did you know? What do you know?
Beads unset, my dear Colgan.
Monsignor, you surprised me. Forgive me.
I?
I cannot. As for surprise, well, surely we surprise ourselves by not taking care.
Quite true, quite true. I did not see you earlier.
No. I'm told that you are inclined to assist the authorities with their inquiries. Although I suppose that you are indeed the authorities.
Curious, that's all. Dominic was a friend.
Then best leave him in peace.
That, I would have thought, is somewhat out of our hands.
Then let us wash. Little need to cause distress,
That supposes that distress would indeed be caused.
So it does.
To you? To the church?
To the innocent. Dominic was Father Byrne to this community. He was old, he was loved, his death is mourned. Tomorrow I shall say Mass for him, and on his anniversary thereafter.
The happiness of rest and the glory of light is little if the sin is unrevenged.
Whose sin, Henry? Whose?
What should I know, Monsignor?
There is a formality, in this case an old formality, not of the usual way. Everything is sometimes best left in order. Let us leave Father Dominic in his rest.
Okay, it's speak-up time. I've just had a very bad breakfast with the Cabinet Secretary. You at school with him?
I do believe so. Breakfast at this hour?
You his fag or something?
Oh, no. At least I don't think so.
Other way round?
No. At least not that I remember, and I most certainly would. Joseph, is this important?
Can't you simply compare buttocks and scars? This is potty.
Of course it's important, and it's not potty, as you call it. The Cabinet Secretary, for some strange reason, trusts Henry's judgment, which is coming in mighty handy at the moment. What in hell's going on? I sent you two off to dig on this arms caper, and instead you're snooping in the aisles. What do I find? The flaming Cabinet Secretary knows all about it and wants to have a preview of the next scene.
What's this got to do with who fagged for who in the fourth floor?
I tell you what it's got to do with. The Cabinet Secretary is intrigued. He says if Henry here thinks the fish smell, perhaps we all should be holding our noses. And when he asks me what it's all about, do I know? No, I don't flaming know. So I have to wink over the porridge and say, stay in touch.
Joseph, I am puzzled.
You're puzzled. Not according to him, you're not. You're just about to crack the pyramids to hear him talk. Have you got something on him?
Why do you think someone as great and as good as the Cabinet Secretary should even know about our interests?
Ah, now, that I do know. Last night at some shindig at number 10, up frolics yet another school chum, this time in a red frock and a crucifix. This one suggests that this department's involvement in a simple criminal investigation can only bring distress.
Monsignor Morrissey.
He didn't say.
No, but I do remember Morrissey. We were at school together. The Monsignor and I were great friends.
So now we've got secret Whitehall Mr. Big tells intelligence chief, call off hounds or no knighthood next year. New move, probe, row. I don't believe it.
Try harder. This department's in the business of, quote, intelligence gathering, analysis and where appropriate, action, unquote. Okay? Paragraph 3, section 1 of the Blue Book. The Blue Book is us. Once we step out of line, then listen out for our teeth clanging into the stainless steel tray.
And suppose this does have something to do with our precious Blue Book paragraph thingy, subsection, what's it?
Well, nothing you've told me says it has. As far as I'm concerned, you're moonlighting. Personal stuff, and it's not on.
Joseph, I would ask you for the rest of the day.
What's in it for me?
Red eye?
You're joking.
I'm getting your attention.
Well, I suppose it is. More or less.
But you see, my dear Mrs. Wedlock, we must be sure. Now, I want you to do something for us. I want you to put everything back exactly as you remember it was.
You got the bomb with you then, have you?
That's exactly what I mean. You must not tidy. You must put it all back as it was.
Seems a funny way of going about things, if you ask me.
Just one small point, Mrs. Wedlock. Father Byrne's letters... Who wrote them?
There was someone coming in twice a week.
Who? Someone from the church?
Well, that's how it used to be, but then she went just 3 weeks ago, so he was, well, sort of waiting for someone else.
He didn't have an apparatus to ease the burden, a computer.
Oh, he tried it, but the fingers, you know, not at all the strength in them.
I see. Tell me, Mrs. Wedlock, the day before the dreadful moment, did Father Byrne give you anything to post... To write, to send?
Not that I remember. Mind you, there was a parcel in his desk that morning.
For him or to post?
Oh, it was maybe sending it, maybe not. There was nothing written on it. One of those yellow parcels, you know the things.
Where exactly was it?
Just there, on the table. I saw it when his niece came. Showed her in, I did, and it was on the table.
His what?
His niece. You know, the one from America.
I had no idea. You knew her?
How could I that? A lovely surprise it was. Never been here before.
And what did Father Byrne say about her?
Nothing. Nothing at all. He wasn't here. She waited for him. Then she said she had to go, but she'd be back.
But you told the father about her?
Oh, no. I told you. It was supposed to be a surprise. She said not to. Anyway, I didn't get the chance.
And did she come back?
I don't know that. You see, I left shortly after she did. It was a shopping afternoon. And when I came back, well, there he was.
And you've not seen her since? How strange.
Of course I have. She was at the funeral, wasn't she?
What you reckon then, H?
Dominic most certainly had no brothers and no sisters.
So no nieces. So who is Miss Hanley?
And you're sure it's the same one, this Miss Hanley?
I have it on the word of a priest, remember?
Okay. So I think we got better than that. She's on the SB computer this morning, straight from immigration and your friends down the corridor.
Aye, for the clumsies. Oh, my Herod will be most distressed. What do they have to do with it?
She arrived late last week, New York via Shannon, then Brussels, and then, we think, the shuttle.
Roundabout?
The tip come from New York, so the pictures went up and we just about hacked it.
What's so special about her?
Fundraising for the IRA. May not be getting so much in the buckets, but I hear the fat envelopes still slide across the best tables in New York and Boston.
How do you know all this?
I read it in the papers, didn't I? Come on, who's round?
Yours. But don't worry, I'll get them.
Sensible girl, that, H.
Beware, Arthur, beware. She bides her time.
Oh, yeah. Listen, sunshine. Something bothers me. This Mrs. Wedlock, she's been around a long time. Now, how come she believes this Hanley woman? She must have known he hadn't got no niece.
Oh, you forget the relationship with Dominic. She would not expect to know all there was to know. For example, I never heard Dominic call her anything but Mrs. Wedlock. Kindly, generous in spirit, but no closer.
Come off it. These Charles are all the same. They know what's going on. They pick up the post in the morning, see who's writing to him, who he's writing to. Birthday cards, the usual doings.
Here we are. Now, suppose she is a fundraiser or whatever. Let's just, for the sake of argument, say she's who she said she is.
His niece?
Yes. Then the whole thing's coincidence.
And if it isn't?
Then I'm afraid, Henry, the question is obvious.
What is an IRA fundraiser making out she's a long-lost relation doing calling on a 90-year-old priest a couple of hours before he's burgled?
Burgled?
Murdered.
Tidney Dustin, you know. Soon get things the same way when you do your dusting. You know, where everything goes that way.
How clever of you, Mrs. Wedlock.
Clever. That's what it is. I've been doing it all me life and no one's ever said clever it was.
But everything's as it was.
Yes, but not exactly.
You mean there's nothing missing?
Do I indeed? I didn't know that.
Mrs. Wedlock, please, we need your help.
As I was telling you, not exactly missing. Hayden, I'd call it. His old shopping bag, you know.
Oh, of course. His famous briefcase.
Here, where you couldn't see it, even if you were looking. He put it in the back of the door here, underneath that cloak of his.
A carrier bag?
The father was never without it. Is that not right, Mr. Colvin?
Indeed it is, Mrs. Wedlock, indeed it is. We used to joke about it. His portable office, he called it. Thank you. Now, let us see. Ah, is this what our intruder was looking for?
That's it. You know, the parcel I was telling you about.
So he never posted it after all.
The scissors, would you be so kind?
Here you go.
Mrs. Wedlock, I wonder if it might be possible for Mrs. Soames and me to have some of your delicious tea.
Well, oh, well. Right here. And some of the cake.
Oh, thank you so much. Most kind, most kind.
That wasn't very subtle.
Perhaps not. Perhaps not. Ah, not, I suspect, selections from these you have loathed.
His cassette thing, it was in here, wasn't it? Yeah, here we go. I suppose it's okay to use it without upsetting Guscott's sluice.
T'would be a pleasure.
Okay.
Hmm?
You do want me to hear it?
Hmm?
I just wondered.
Oh! Thank you, my dear, thank you. But yes.
Henry, forgive the drama, but I need your help. You know about these things. This morning, I had a visitor. Someone from a long time ago. But then the past is as close as you remember, as you once told me.
My God.
Snuff. Dear Dominic took snuff.
The point is, Henry, I'm so sad. So sad. I have heard his confession. This is, Henry, a woeful world. The anguish of secrecy is that we can never know the truth. I have to accept that which is told me. Make no judgment, yet instruct so that some poor soul feels cleansed. Oh, Blessed Virgin, Mother of my Redeemer, mirror of innocence and sanctity, and refuge of penitent sinners. Penitent, Henry? My visitor, Henry, has told me dreadful things. And what am I to say when he returns? You see, he said...
Blast, what's the matter with it?
Just a moment. Patience. Oh, it's nothing. It's still going round.
Of innocence and sanctity and refuge of penitent sinners. Penitent?
Can't you make it go forward?
Nothing. It's blank. Nothing.
In episode 1 of Colville and Soames, you heard Christopher Benjamin as Henry Colville, Amanda Redman as Alex Soames, and Dudley Sutton as Arthur Guscott. Joseph Cutner was played by Stephen Thorne, Mrs. Wedlock by Colette O'Neill, Monsignor Morrissey by Peter Yapp, and Father Dominic Byrne by Joseph O'Connor. Colville and Soames is written by Christopher Lee and produced by Pete Atkin.
So we've a trio with a secret. Father Dominic, the phony niece, and the mysterious visitor.
And one's dead.
One for the moment.
Someone else?
Soon, perhaps. Benjamin Franklin, dear Joseph. Benjamin Franklin, did he not remind us that three may keep a secret if two of them are dead? Only Dominic, Joseph, only Dominic is dead.
And tomorrow, Colville and Soames will no doubt look again.